You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here. Okay, you stop being lazy. All right, I like it. 713-780-3776. You got something to say about your Astros? I mean, they put in all this work, and y'all can't even pick up a phone? Let's go. 713-780-3776. Ryan is first. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Johnny G? Sorry, man. Been dragging ass after all those shots I had last night.
Nice.
But whenever Bregman threw him out on the first base, man, we all fucking cheered.
Whoa, it was great.
It was great, bro. Sorry for the F-bomb. Sorry about that. But anyways, hungover. Astros won. Let's get one against the A's. Let's go.
You can't. Let's effing go. You can't. We can't do that. Okay. I know you're comfortable. You feel good. You did a lot of shots last night. You're probably a little loose still. But
yeah, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. Let's try not to drop F bombs. Okay. First one. Here comes Lance on his scooter. And he missed it. Let's effing go. He said. Okay.
Ryan, on the radio.
Ryan. He was doing shots last night. I can't. You know what? I can't hold it
with Dusty.
Him. Dusty was drinking out of his shoe.
Get some cheese.
It was beer. He was drinking beer out of his shoe.
You ever done that?
What? No. No, I'm not drinking out of my stinky.
Well, you know how, not a shoe, but you know how Stanley Cup, they all drink out of cups. Have you ever done something like that?
I'll drink out of a cup. Yeah, I'll drink out of a cup. Yes.
Have you ever done that?
Not out of a shoe.
Like had a group thing y'all drank out of? Y'all buying each other jeans?
Yes.
What happened?
We were in... we were a golf course and we played and we pretended like it was Ryder Cup, but there were just four of us and we were wasted and we came into the pro shop and they had this giant cup. It's where Tiger Woods is a member and all of these guys, Justin Rose was on the tee. He was practicing there. All these big names, and they had this giant trophy cup and we filled it with beer and we were all drinking out of it. And then
did they know y'all were doing it?
Then came an email of how, dear members, we should not be drinking out of the giant trophy that is, you know, like a big trophy for the club.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be doing that.
This isn't a cup?
No.
This isn't a giant chalice?
Yeah.
Did you reply with like, you mean the chalice?
Yeah. No, it was.
Reply all right. Send.
It's not a trophy. It's a chalice. And we're drinking out and we're having it. Yeah. Anyway, that
of
happened.
Of course I asked that question because I knew there was a chance.
Oh, there was a. Oh,
that you had done that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I knew there was a chance there was an email, a strongly worded email that came after.
It was very strong.
After whatever
actually,
you and your friends did.
I think they put the big trophy up on a giant ledge that nobody could reach it anymore. Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, I think.
Probably didn't think they had to do that.
That was the best way to do it. Yeah. Let's get John in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, John?
Hey, good morning. I have one more bullpen pitcher that I think y'all haven't mentioned yet, but I think is going to be on that playoff roster. And I'm going to give two hints. LSU and last name rhymes with crack. That's all I got.
Rhymes with craft?
Crack.
C-R-A-C-K. Crack. Belac. You like Belac? Is that who you're saying? I mean, I don't know about Belac.
Yes.
I don't know about
Belac.
Man, I don't know about Belac.
Belac rhymes with
I don't
crack?
Think so. He got spot starts for Greinke, but I don't know that he's going to be. You like? Oh well, John's gone. I don't know. No, I don't think Belac is going to make the team.
He hasn't been a factor.
No, but he made
year.
Spot starts for.
Yeah, recently, too.
For Greinke, yeah.
Yep. No, I mean, he's.
But other than that, when was the last time they used him in relief? They haven't. I mean, it's been a while.
Last seven games, he's got two starts. Save, 15 innings pitched, 16 strikeouts, 10 walks. I mean, I don't know.
Well, no, but they're not using him as a reliever anymore. He's only been a spot starter for a while now.
Well, in his last seven games that he's appeared, he's had two starts. So there were spot starts. I could see.
Go look at his game log. I don't
want to look at Brandon Belak's game log. What kind of fool do you take me for? Go look at Brandon Belak's game log. You go look at it. I'd rather sit here and eat these Cheez-Its and talk about something else other than Brandon Belak.
Well, he rhymes with crack, okay? It took a while, but Belak, I guess it does. It rhymes to me. It rhymes with Melac, but
the second syllable rhymes with crack.
Right. So
I didn't know he was an LSU guy, actually.
So in September, he's got a 2-3-1 in September. He has been in four games. Three innings, 2 2/3, three innings, and three innings. And, you know, he's pitched okay. He's not been all right. But before that, he only made one appearance in August and just four in July. I mean, he's been used very sparingly. I highly doubt Brandon Belak.
He's a multi-inning guy. You've already got Zach Odorizzi and Christian Javier who handle that role.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't used him in...
Odorizzi is going to take that spot.
Yeah, you haven't used him in the one inning stuff. Well, how is that going to be used?
How is Zach Greinke going to be used? I don't know how you use him out of the pen.
To me, you back him up with Urquidy.
Maybe he comes in the sixth or seventh inning.
You know what? Maybe you back him up at the end of Lance McCullers. Somebody who can pop it a little bit, although McCullers doesn't work that fastball as much. But I'm trying to think of what would give you an opposite look. Maybe behind Urquidy. Maybe you say, you know what, Zach Greinke is going to, we're going to pair him with another pitcher, and we're going to try to get Lance, because McCullers gotten pretty good at giving you six good innings. I mean, look at yesterday, he had five no-hit innings before he gave up the runs, but if you went.
And that was a good pitch.
Is that crazy?
Lau is a pain in the ass, by the way.
Is that crazy to say, and I know the argument's going to be Zach Greinke hasn't been good recently, blah, 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 but. He had two scoreless, hitless innings yesterday in Sugar Land. Is it crazy to say Lance McCullers, and then you pair him with three innings of potentially to close the game out? Is that Greinke?
Ooh, wow. Close the game out. You're
well, he's fresh.
I think I could see him
He's totally fresh. He's working three innings.
I know. I could see him coming in the sixth and working the sixth and the seventh maybe. But then you go to Graveman and Presley. I mean, I'm not closing the game out with – no. Not the way Greinke has been. I mean, if you get two solid scoreless innings out of Greinke right now, I think you're asking for – you haven't seen that, dude.
It's been bad, but he hasn't been 100% either.
No. No, but you haven't really seen that. So I don't know why you think all of a sudden against the White Sox lineup –
Gun to your head, who do you trust more, Zach Greinke or Jake Odorizzi?
Right now,
Odorizzi. Yeah, I'm not saying – You got gun to your head, and it's this postseason. Who are you trusting more?
I'm trusting Odorizzi more.
I can't talk to you anymore.
The way that that Zach has been pitching lately?
The disrespect for Zach Greinke.
No, I'm trusting Odorizzi.
The disrespect.
Odorizzi was an all-star like 3 years ago, okay?
Zach Greinke was a Cy Young Award winner about 4 years, 5 years ago.
More than that a little bit.
6 years ago.
Maybe more.
It's been that long.
Well, it's been
long. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you're right.
Yeah, a lot longer. Taylor's here. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What do you say?
What's up, guys? Just go back on college football and the great Power Six, the American. Are we buying into Cincinnati? I mean, they're favored at Notre Dame. Are they for real this year?
It's gone down to a point and a half. They were 2-point favorites, so people are jumping.
It's going to be pick 'em by game time.
Yeah, probably be a pick 'em. This is their playoff game. I like them, but we had our college football expert on yesterday, our betting expert on, Mr. Five Star, and he loves Notre Dame in this one. The only problem that I have with this is, you know, he said, like, look at Notre Dame last week against Wisconsin. Yeah, but I remember Notre Dame against Toledo. I remember Notre Dame going to overtime against Florida State. That was just this year. Notre Dame is, I'm not sure what Notre Dame is, to tell you the truth. They win at home, but not by much. They look like crap against Toledo and Florida State.
Yeah, Wisconsin has bad quarterback play. Graham Mertz is a touchdown to six interceptions. So, yeah, that's one of the things you have to piece together. Wisconsin still has – they still have name value, but they lost at home against Penn State, and they didn't – you know, their offense didn't look good. Penn State's offense didn't look good. Then you had – I can't remember what else they did. They got to win after that. Then they lose at home against Notre Dame. But you're right, Toledo, who's a pretty good football team, Toledo By the way, he was on Toledo plus the points. Five star was.
He was.
Yeah. But Toledo is a pretty good football team. Well, Florida State's not a good football team.
No, they're terrible.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, are we putting too much into a win over Graham Mertz?
Yeah.
The interception maker? I mean, that is the question.
Notre Dame doesn't lose at home, but I don't know. Listen, Cincinnati's a really good football team. Who you like? Okay, who's gonna coach it up more? Brian Kelly, the winningest coach in Notre Dame history, passing Newt Rockne for the winningest. Brian Kelly is the winningest coach in Notre Dame history.
Yeah, but Fickell's a really good coach too.
Fickell's a great coach.
I just feel like Notre Dame is really the atmosphere. Everything about Notre Dame. Notre Dame should really be ready for this game. The atmosphere should be really good. I think what we don't know about is how does that offensive line for Notre Dame has been very up or down. You can't just magically coach them up to be better sometimes. The entire game to me is going to rest on how does Cincinnati's defensive front do against Notre Dame. If they show up, you know, Notre Dame's defense, I think, eventually is going to give up some points to Ritter and that offense. The question is going to be how much offense do they crank up and, you know, and generate. So I think it's one of the most interesting games of the whole week.
Yeah.
I really do. And I think TCU, I didn't think this before, but I like Texas, but I am curious to see how TCU comes out offensively because I was watching their offensive line and they got the ability to move the ball on the ground and run it a little bit. So I think Auburn LSU that's this week, right?
Auburn LSU is Saturday. Yeah.
I think that's a really, really interesting game, too. We'll find out what LSU is all about.
I'll be there at Tiger Stadium.
You're going to be at Tiger Stadium.
Yeah, we're going to leave it today. Y'all asked for calls, and so far you've gotten an F-bomb and a guy who may not really know what rhyme means. So we're done with those. We're done with phone calls. 913 ESPN. No, we're not, Jackie. Jerk. You're making fun of other without hair. You're making fun of other people. Okay. All right, then they'll probably just come back with, yeah, but you're bald. All right. 9:13, time to talk about.
I thought you were setting up a Linville ad there. You weren't.
No.
You were just taking shots, personal shots.
Okay. Jackie. Well, he's taking shots at our listeners. Okay. And you threw over a chair earlier. I did. I got to talk right now about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. It's where you play, you win, you get paid. I'm on there. I love it. I got so many bets this weekend already. Every time somebody comes on and they talk about a game, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I got to get on that. And I get on it. And I got on it last night a little bit. Didn't go well. But, oh, well, you know what? You win some, you lose some. That's okay. But here's the deal. When you play and you deposit money, they match up to $1,000 right now. Doesn't matter if you are a client, were a client, never were a client, whatever the case may be. Everybody right now is eligible for that match of up to $1,000 at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Look, you're looking for a great way to win, get paid, and just have fun. You know what's happening in these games. Are you making any money off of it? No. So get to my bookie and start making some money. Let's go. It's a great place to play. They always got specials going on where they give you free plays and all kinds of stuff. It's fun. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. 917 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Rockets have announced that they have a new broadcast. Well, yeah, Bill's gone. Craig Ackerman moves into the play-by-play slot, full-time TV. Matt Thomas goes to radio full time. He's going to be every game instead of road games and then home PA announcer. He's going to be full time radio play by play guy. Congratulations to Matt. And then Ryan Hollins comes in, former ESPN guy and basketball analyst. He's going to be the color commentator, and Mario Elie is going to also be part of the broadcast team in select games, and of course Kaylee Griffin is going to be on AT&T Sportsnet. Yeah, it's a good team. It's different. Bull moves into the front office, right?
Yeah.
I thought Bull was excellent as a color commentator.
I thought he was good. I don't know. I never got super. I liked Bull, and I love the way that he was able to fold the analytics thinking of the Rockets into broadcast. I thought it added an element to the broadcast. I will be honest, though. I'm always for the home team. Sometimes I have a problem when I can't get, I mean, this is this way, and we already know we can't get political news or even news without slants and angles and this, that. We already know that's impossible now. I don't love it anymore with my sports. I know the home team is gonna really cheer loud for them, but if it's a foul, it's okay to say it was a foul.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like Bill Worrell and Bull sometimes would be very protective, I think, of the Rockets. And I know why. I mean, when it was Daryl and Tad and Tillman or whoever, I think there was a, you know, it kind of had rabbit ears sometimes about what was said. And sometimes just tell it like it is. I mean, if somebody's playing poorly, and it's not, the Rockets are not by themselves like that. This is a lot of teams. We hear about color commentators or play-by-play guys getting fired from different jobs because they don't suck up to the home team hard enough. But I don't know about you, but me personally, I want them to cheer loudly for when the Rockets do great, for example. But also, if something's being, like if you need to say, look, there's just not enough hustle going there's not enough hustle going on right now on the court. Or if you have to call out some play, I want to hear that too. I don't know. I know teams don't like that. The teams want it to be an extension and a commercial of the teams. But I'd like for a little bit of reality to be on the home broadcast. I mean, home broadcast sometimes.
Yeah.
This is all the fouls. They just keep getting fouled all the time. Everyone's fouling. The whole league's against us. Well, I get enough of that on Twitter. I don't need that in every broadcast. Twitter will tell me that everyone is against our team and the referees are cheating and it's rigged. And I get that enough. It's just, you know, just tell me about the game and the good and the bad.
Yeah. Dream Shake doesn't like the hire. He doesn't like him. He has no ties to the Rockets. That is interesting. A guy without ties to the Rockets. That'll be interesting to see. We can give Ryan Hollins a call right now. As a matter of fact, why don't you? We'll be calling. We're calling.
Better get him right now before our college football expert here, and analyst Del Orale comes on.
Come and get his number, and we'll get him on. Yeah, let's get him on here quickly and welcome him to the city of Houston. You want me to give out his number on the phone? Here. Oh, here it is. Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just take
I could have done all that.
I mean, Dusty is drinking out of a. They've all got their own shoes. Do you have to drink out of your own shoe? Is Dusty really drinking out of one of his cleats?
Yeah.
That's how you know Dusty is. This is how you know he's old school. Drinking out of a shoe ain't no big deal to him. Dusty played in the 70s and 80s, early 80s. Dusty, like, shoe drinking, no problem.
Yeah, back in the 70s and 80s, you drank out of dirtier stuff than that.
Yeah, he's probably like, do we have greenies with this? No, yeah. Dusty, we don't. No, Papa, they don't have greenies in baseball anymore.
No greenies, buddy.
We're not doing greenies and beer, okay, Papa? It's not what we're doing today. Drink out of your shoe. Stop asking for greenies. That's not what baseball's about right now.
Yeah. And any steroids in? Do we have any steroids with this beer? None of it? No,
but we know where we can find some because it's baseball. And there's always HGH and steroids around somewhere.
It's going to be somewhere.
And definitely we can get you some Adderall. That's not going to be a problem, Pawpaw.
All right. Ryan Hollins is joining us right now, new color commentator for your Houston Rockets. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am amazing, my man. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Congratulations on the gig. How'd it come about?
You know what? It started off as just a... you know, kind of a text from my agent saying, hey, you know, Houston is interested in you. Is it something you'd be willing to do? And, you know, would you like it? I said, are you kidding me? I said, just the fact that my name was actually mentioned in a position as established with the organization like the Rockets, man, I lost my marbles. And from there, it was a, you know, long interviewing process. And I'm just going to be honest. I can't tell you how humbled I was just to be mentioned for such a position. And, you know, it came to fruition. And, you know, we've been at it for a while. But this is, I mean, it's one of the coolest things that ever happened to me in my life.
I think what's really cool for you, Ryan, and for us, is that we have seen this before with the Houston Astros, where the team, you know, the team had to get into an entire rebuild mode. And it took a little while. And then new broadcasters came in, and we had new voices of the Astros. And before you knew it, they won a World Series, and they've been really good since then. The Rockets are in a reset mode, right? But you come in with Jalen. You're coming in at the same time with Jalen Green. You got Shingun, who is another player they traded up for, Porter Jr. Like, there are some young talent. You get to grow with the organization, really, from the jump start of the new post-Harden Rockets. That has to be exciting, right?
It is, and that's the first thing I thought of. You know, if there's any time for an opportunity like this for a new face, and I'm definitely a new face in Houston, it's with the rebuild. You have, you know, a hungry head coach who I go back with, and Coach Silas, who's looking to prove himself as a head coach. You got young guys. You know, Jalen Green. Jalen's got that chip on his shoulder. But, you know, this is brand new. And the one thing I love about what we're doing is it's to rebuild the right way. Our guys are going to have fun. They're going to compete. Lord knows we don't need to tell you about how athletic they are and the excitement they're going to bring to the court. But that's why it's a prime time. It's like, okay, these are world champs. They're established. They've been there for years. No, that's not this deal. I want to grow with something. And this is a really, really exciting time. There's just a buzz around the team. But what's wild, I've talked to and I've heard from several of my colleagues around the league and, you know, guys I played with and close friends of mine. This team almost seems reminiscent of those knucklehead Clippers. You know how ingrained they were in history with Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson and Spaghetti and all this, when they were really just babies, man, just young. And I feel like we're going to see that similar vibe of excitement that's going to be flowing through the city where it's like, hey, these kids play hard, they live on the floor, and it's just going to be exciting basketball where you can go, hey, like you pinned and said, man, I see where we're going. Jalen's going to be extremely good in two or three years. Christian Wood's going to continue to go. Al B is going to be a dog on the block. So I am ecstatic, but this is the time. I don't want to see that the big old, the brand new Porsche. I want to see the process, baby.
Now, we've seen you on ESPN. How much of the color commentator, have you been with a team? Where are you living right now?
Unfortunately, we just got this thing inked, man. So we've known for a while, but we just got it inked. I'm still in LA, but definitely I will be there for the first game on the 5th. The Rockets faithful will be enjoying things. But yeah, I am still out in LA. We're figuring things, man. We've got four kids over here, and we're figuring and managing a move. But the beautiful thing is, man, my wife, that's the MVP right there. She's dealt with me for 10 seasons in the NBA. So she's like, look, I got this. Don't worry about nothing. I got this, okay?
That is great. You're excited. What do you know about Houston?
Listen, a lot of people don't know this, man, and I just see it as God's grace, to be honest. The Houston Rockets are the reason that I fell in love with basketball. The reason that I played basketball. That championship with Hakeem and Rob Horry and Sam Cassell, that's where I fell in love. Mario, Ellie, the kiss it. Listen, that's where I fell in love with the game. I would go in the backyard with my dad, and my dad put a hoop there when I was little. And, you know, you don't really know what's going on in basketball, but Hakeem Olajuwon glued me into his concept. That's a big guy. That's a tall guy. Going against Shaq, me and my dad, we'd go in the backyard, and we'd play one-on-one, and I'd be Hakeem, he'd be Shaq, and we would go at it. And, I mean, that I never got to call in free agency because I'd have jumped all over it. But those were my first memories. So to have an opportunity like this and a privilege, like, I can't tell you what it means. And I've been secretly a Houston fan and respect for the organization for a very long time. And I'm telling you, with all due respect, when I was on the other opposing side, one of those other guys, it was always special coming to Houston. So this is just a privilege, but you never forget your first team. You never forget that first experience. You never forget that Hakeem fadeaway or dream shake that makes you go, oh, daddy, I want to do that. I like this, you know? So, to me, this is, I'm on cloud nine, man. I pinched myself this morning. So.
When it comes to
basketball history, though, I mean, Moses Malone, Ralph Sampson, Dream, Yao Ming, just all James Harden, Clyde Drexler, just the amount of history that is here with the Rockets is something I think you're going to definitely enjoy, especially if you love those mid-90s Rockets teams that brought the city its their first championships. You'll fit right in.
And, and you're going to be working with Mario, too. He's going to be on the broadcast as well, so that's fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. Mario, basketball is such a small world, man. And I've grown to be really close with, Clyde. He was our commissioner over at the Big Three and doing a great job over there. And people don't know, I was coached by Mario Elie. Mario Elie was my coach in Dallas. And he was all over me. We always joked, kiss of death, baby, the kiss of death. So you're going to hear me playing around and messing with Mario, but that's my guy, man. He's what's really cool is Mario has been able to mentor me. He's the type of guy far beyond our days in Dallas. So, you know, just like I said, the history, man, the pride, the culture, man, I'm humbled to be a part of it. And the one thing I want to do is pay homage to the city and pay homage to Hakeem and those guys and Horry and all those guys who have put in the work to build this from where it's come from. Okay, so I'm humbled, man. I just want to make sure I do it service and I do it justice. I'm gonna tell you one thing: if you've ever known about Ryan Hollins as a player, I've never been the best player, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I've always given 100% and I've always worked, man. And that's one thing I promised to the city of Houston.
That's awesome, Ryan Hollins. New color commentator for your Houston Rockets right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Man, we appreciate it. Sounds like you're excited. We're excited, too. Thanks for hanging with us this morning, Ryan, and we'll be hopefully talking to you a lot more.
Anything you guys need, I appreciate you, and we'll talk soon, and I'll be seeing you guys very soon.
Let's come in studio. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Done. I'll be there. You have a 7-footer walking through the doors, guys.
That's no big deal. We have that all the time.
Ryan Hollins. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Hollins right here guys. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, we're talking college football with the expert, the 97.5 expert.
Órale.
No, it's not órale. It's órale.
Órale. It's not O-R-A-J-O-L-E
or something like that.
It's not órale.
I don't know.
This
what
entire
is.
Time, I thought it was Delbert. Órale.
No, it's Delbert something. Anyway, it's next right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, bringing in our college football expert. Your name is not Orale, right? That's what Lance thinks that your name is.
No, okay. It's not. I don't know how. This Orale. Is still getting confused week after week, but no.
Yeah.
Did anyone in a text string say your mom to you last night?
Well,
I
saw it this morning. I sent you two clowns a text last night about something I saw. I was sent something by a squirrel who just sent me some information. I just said, hey, look at this. And then I sent you a paraphrasing of a particular thing. Yeah. And you said, who, Don Shula, which is...
Yeah.
Well, he's dead, so that's not funny. And then
he could have written it, though.
He could have been something older.
He could have written it a long time ago.
No, I saw who wrote it. Oh. I was just seeing if you guys could guess. And then you said my mom. Look, John is flagrant. You know, John, at one point, when I first came back to do this after, you know, getting fired, as he likes to point out, we went to Vegas for, you know, just a week. Because, nice job. You're still unprofessional. Congratulations to you. But we went to Vegas for, at the time, Yahoo Sports Radio. And John intimated that he could be my dad because of a relationship he had with my mom.
No, I just was asking if she'd been in Chicago at all.
I said no. And he goes, you don't know that. I was like, no.
Had she been in?
So these are the, so it's been, the whole your mom thing has been going on for a while.
right, Notre. Okay, which Notre Dame is this? The one that beat Wisconsin? Because we can't decide on this game, Cincinnati or Notre Dame. Although our betting expert, five star, thinks Notre Dame is going to crush.
I heard
what do you
that
think?
Yesterday, it was interesting. Five star, I like him.
Yeah,
I'm surprised someone. Nah, I can't.
He was good.
I like
he was
him.
Good. He knew his stuff, and I like the fact that he's literally living in Vegas, gambling on tennis. It was 7:30 in the morning in Vegas. He's in a sports book. That's what he does for his.
Notre Dame. But he mentioned all this stuff about Notre Dame. But what about Toledo? What about Florida State? Is that Notre Dame non-existent anymore?
I don't know what the Wisconsin win means, other than Wisconsin's very dysfunctional offensively. The Graham Mertz thing is really just a name from his first appearance against Illinois back in the COVID year. Other than that, he's been terrible, particularly against ranked opponents. I don't know what to take from that. Notre Dame still can't run the football. It is interesting to see a line where the American Conference team can go into South Bend and be a favorite. So if that takes you back a little bit, I understand it. I don't think Notre Dame is going to be great moving the ball against Cincinnati, but I do think their defense is finding their rhythm. I think they'll attack Desmond Ridder, and Ridder is a guy who he's almost like the Spencer Sanders of the AAC. He's like a guy you think at points can be a really good player, and then you go, oh, well, that was terrible. That was terrible. He's like a quarter-to-quarter player sometimes, much like Spencer Sanders. I like Notre Dame in this one. I think their defense has gotten better as they transition to the Marcus Freeman defense, the former DC of Cincinnati. But I understand people looking at it and going, we don't know what Notre Dame is, because what do you take from beating Wisconsin, a team who can't move the football?
Yeah, and at the end of that game was actually closer than the score indicated, because Paul Chris just threw Graham Mertz to the Wolves, just said, keep throwing it, interception the other way.
It was 13-10. Notre Dame was down because Dylan Pine, their backup, you know, because their offensive line hadn't played well. He got blindsided, fumbled. Wisconsin went and kicked the field goal.
He did play pretty well.
But after that, the immediate play after that was a kick return for a touchdown. It changed the complexion of the entire game. He didn't have to step on the field down by three. Next time he stepped on the field, his team was up 17-13.
And this is why I disagree with the analytics troop that believes that you don't have to watch games. Maybe that's true in basketball and baseball, but in football, you need to understand the flow of games and what happened, because certain things can change and alter. Like, I don't believe just the data tells you the story. You have to put it in context. And so when I'm trying to put this in context, the win over Wisconsin, I go all the way back to their game against Penn State. Mertz is bad there, but the defense is still pretty good, still pretty salty. You know, you can't – of the points they scored on Wisconsin, there was a pick six. There was another interception. There was a kickoff return for a touchdown. That's not put on the defense. So is their offense really good enough in a game against Cincinnati? So to me, this is – on the surface, it looks like, oh, you take Notre Dame plus the – I like the home team here, but I'm not sure it's maybe it's not a little bit more complicated.
I think it is. It's simple to say, but the play of Desmond Ridder will determine it, because Jack Cohn's fine. I mean, clearly he's at least a better option than Graham Mertz, the guy who replaced him. But what are we going to get the Desmond Ridder from that first quarter and a half or so against Indiana?
It wasn't good.
Yeah, or are we going to get the one who showed up? Because if they're down 14-0 at Notre Dame, I don't think they're coming back.
No. Everybody seems to be on Ole Miss right now. I mean, everybody I hear, Ole Miss has got a chance to upset. Ole Miss has a chance to upset. Lance, you started it.
Yeah.
And now it's everybody
everyone
picked up me. On you. Everybody's copying you.
Everyone copied my opinion.
I think I'm going to give the 14.5.
You just fade all the noise.
I think I'm on the Alabama side, too. Last year, Alabama went into LSU, and we know the outcome of the game. Alabama ran away with it. But before the game, Nick Saban did an interview and said, LSU believes now that they can beat us. We're going to change that mindset.
You knew it was going to be a lot easier last
year.
Yeah,
certainly. There's no Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, but he made it a point to let the world know even before the game that we don't stand by and let teams believe that they can beat us. That was a one-time thing in 19. It'll change, and I think they've heard a lot about how Ole Miss can score all those points.
Can you do something about it, though? Can the defense
that is the issue, because that last year, Ole Miss didn't really attack their corners. Part of that has to do with, you know, having a first rounder out there, and Josh Jobe's not bad either last year. They attacked their linebackers, the tight end, and the running backs. Now they appear to, you know, up the talent level of Henry Toto, the transfer from Tennessee, but they're still having issues. Florida with their running backs got after those linebackers as well. I'm interested to see if the tight ends at at Ole Miss and their running backs have the same type of success. Because if Alabama can shore that up, I see that game being a 20-21 point win for Alabama. But the questions for them are going to be behind the front four. Can those linebackers be exposed again?
No. Georgia and Arkansas. Jefferson is going to play.
Number 8 versus number 2. You beat up on the state of Texas. Look what happened. You go to number 8.
Yeah. And, well, they did. And they beat the snot out of the state of Texas.
They beat up on the state of Texas.
That's a lot of points, too. What is it? 16 and a half?
Yeah, something like that.
We saw Arkansas's model last week. Now, particularly against defenses that are pretty good, Georgia's another step up from Arkansas. They're going to look for explosive plays. Traylon Burks had one, and then they had one where A&M decided they wanted to forget how to tackle. Those were the two explosive plays. A&M only had one of those, and that was the difference in the ball game outside of, you know, A&M's trash offensive line. But I don't think that'll be enough against Georgia. I don't think they will. Now, Georgia will play man. That's what they love to do. They're going to challenge on the outside, and that kind of plays into Arkansas's way of doing things. They'll send guys on go routes multiple times a game just to see if they can hit a big one. They don't have a really refined passing game. They're not going to pick you apart up and down the field. They're going to hope they run the ball and try to hit you with big plays. I don't see it happening against Georgia on the road. That number is 16. The question will be, what's Kirby Smart's mindset in one of these games? Does he want to just get out of there with, you know, a 24-10 victory, or does he want to showcase what his offense is capable of?
Let's take a look at this, because this is the one.
How much are they capable of doing against Arkansas's defense anyway?
But this is the tricky thing. How much do you think they've averaged per game since beating? They played four games since the game where they scored 10.
A bunch.
53 a game.
Yeah.
They've scored 56 against UAB, 40 against South Carolina, 62 against Vanderbilt last week. So now I'm sitting here thinking, okay, Clemson scored 10 there. Is that maybe just first game issues?
They only scored 3. Remember, it was a pick 6. Touchdown.
Oh,
remember,
that's
they didn't score an offensive touchdown.
That's right. But now they've put all these points up.
Yeah, but look
here
at the teams that they beat the snot
out
of.
Do they have the offense? Like, is their offense much better?
JT's been better. He's been better.
Yeah. Is their offense much better than we're seeing against Clemson? Because if it's not, if it's just somewhere between blowing out bad teams and struggling against a good team, then this Arkansas game is going to be a little tougher than the point spread would lead you to believe.
Yeah, Georgia's offense is the question mark. They're going to get Darnell Washington back, their tight end who hadn't played the first couple weeks because of an injury preseason. If they're even halfway capable, and what their defense is going to cause, we have to take into account how many short fields their defense might set up for their offense. Now, Arkansas will try to avoid the turnovers. If Georgia gets to 28, let's say Georgia, you know, not a supreme effort like we've seen, but let's say they get to 28 points. Can Arkansas get to 14?
Hey,
the way their offense looked last week?
They can.
I think
Georgia has.
I'm going to give you three games real quick before we get out of here. Who is most likely to get upset here? Ohio State headed into Rutgers. Oklahoma headed into Kansas State, who's 3-1, or Oregon headed into Stanford.
The Oklahoma K-State one is the somewhat obvious one, considering the last two ball games. K-State has beat them the last two times they've seen them.
Ohio State could be in some trouble.
Ohio State is interesting because Rutgers put it all on the line against Michigan, and they actually outgained Michigan in that game. They lost 20-13. Do they have two of those performances in them back to back against a more dynamic offense? I would probably be more worried about Oregon versus Stanford, because Oregon, despite blowing out Arizona, Arizona rushed for over 200 yards against them. It's only because they're little, as you would say, little person. Actually, you'd say something different. I'm going to call them a little person quarterback, 3 for 5 interceptions. If you look at the ball game, like you look at the stats, Oregon caused a lot of turnovers. The ball game itself, Arizona had a pretty good day on the ground. Stanford's going to try to test Oregon's run defense too.
I call him
a little fella.
No, yeah. You say Mie is what you say.
No,
yes.
I call him.
Who's going to have more yards rushing, Zach Evans or Bijan Robinson?
If you don't know, Zach Evans is the five-star running back for TCU, and Bijan Robinson's a five-star running back
averages
for Texas.
7.9 yards a game so far.
I'm gonna take Bijan.
Do you like TCU?
It feels like the obvious choice, right? Because this is what they do. They play poorly the week before. They lose to SMU because Texas is around the corner. And they don't play well after they play Texas. It feels like their whole season is dependent on this one, and they've gotten the better of Texas. Can it really happen again?
Again?
Can it happen
no
again?
No way.
I don't feel like it should happen again, but then again, why? I guess, what's the number?
Four.
They beat up on Duquesne. They beat Cal in a close one, and they lost to a pretty good TCU team. I mean, it's a competitive
SMU
team.
Yeah.
I mean, SMU team. It's a competitive TCU.
I think Texas covers. They'll cover. I think they'll either win by like 14 to 21 or lose. I don't think they're winning a close game.
Is Hudson Card going to be the next quarterback for Miami?
No. I don't.
Maybe.
It's unlikely. It's unlikely because the new coach will say, the new coach of Miami is going to have some interesting issues to deal with.
Bill O'Brien?
But I don't think Hudson Card is the answer there. Hey, look, that game was atrocious.
Please let Bill O'Brien go to Miami. Please, Miami, hire Bill O'Brien.
They won't. He's too abrasive. That's been an issue with their administration before. Look, you watched that game, and I said it on the podcast. It's interesting to realize your team has no hope and how freeing it is. Like, the rest of the season, there won't be no angst.
I like Oroz Campoyo.
There won't be no...
Oh, hire him. He's Cuban.
He's going to fit right in. The Cuban guy they're probably going to go after is Mario Cristobal, former player for them. Sense. The free feeling of knowing that your team blows and it doesn't matter anymore for the year, it's actually very comforting. That's what I feel
that's
like.
That's how we are with the Texans.
Yeah, it's comforting.
Who cares? It's all, oh, look, they play pretty good. That's fun.
Whee! Let's see if Mac Brown can get Manny fired again. He's already fired him once. Let's see if the play on the field gets him fired this time.
All right, that's Del Olale, producer of you can hear him on the Del
can't.
And Charlie show.
He's one of the bees. He's also one of the bees.
Yeah.
I am not.
D and B. DBB. Yeah. That's what it's called. Del and the Killer Bees show.
It's Charlie Polillo coming up next, despite what they're saying. And then the Killer Bees will follow. I won't be talking, but they'll be talking to Jerry Palm and Cole Kubelik. Thanks to Lance. That's his boy. Appreciate that. But it'll be fun. I'll sit there and watch highlights from Miami's yesteryear to make myself feel better while they do the show.
Is that what you do?
Yeah,
that's what you do?
No, I watch YouTube.
948 ESPN 97.5 News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Which way do you think Bill Cosby is leaning in this R. Kelly trial? We'll tell you on the other side. But first, McGrath Pest Control. That's my guy, Scott McGrath. Love what he does. He put in the mosquito killing system in my backyard, and it is awesome. Never have to worry about mosquitoes. We don't. We just don't. It's just awesome to be back there because we hang out a lot in the backyard, and it is really cool. You know, we're out there, whatever, drinking wine and watching and listening to music or whatever, and you don't have to worry about a mosquito ever. I'm telling you, if you've got a family and you're a pool and the kids are out back, you got to have this mosquito murdering system because they're just killing your kids, these mosquitoes. We haven't seen one. We don't have any mosquitoes in ours because of this system, and it's awesome. If you're looking to kill any kind of bug in your house, and if you have bugs in your house, you're gross. So you need McGrath Pest Control. They got to come once a quarter, and they got to spray, and so your house isn't gross. They kill everything, and by the way, you need a termite inspection. They do that as well. Everything you could possibly need at one pest control place. It's McGrathPestControl.com, 281-469-8240, 281-469-8240, or McGrathPestControl.com.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't know if you heard, but R. Kelly convicted of multiple counts of, doing stuff to young people, which is not good. Bill Cosby says R. Kelly got railroaded with his guilty verdict. Do you want Bill Cosby on your side as your major advocate in your trial, Lance?
I prefer that he not speak up.
For me? Don't speak for me, Bill Cosby.
And you come in here. No, I don't want you to say anything about me. And Deshaun Watson, then he took a pudding pop. Nope. Delete.
No,
delete, Mr. Cosby.
Pudding
delete.
Pop up.
What? Don't say up in. You ever had this Jello cup No, I'm blind. I'm legally blind.
Are you a little worried? Apparently, Northern Ireland is facing a shortage of clowns.
Yeah, that is bothering me a little bit. Well, no one wants to work anymore.
I know.
That includes
these
clowns.
Kids these days.
No one. These young people, you'd rather stay at home and get paid to be a clown.
Nobody wants to be creepy anymore.
Do your clowning.
Nobody wants to be creepy anymore.
I mean, the price of clown college has gone up
way
tremendously over the
years.
And
you know what? Yeah. There has been talk about that Biden may jump in and eliminate debt for clown college.
Yeah.
Debt elimination.
Clown loans.
I know BuzzFeed's going to have an article at some point. Clowns are struggling now more than ever to find homes. And here's why. And we'll have some clickbait clown. Why are clowns struggling? Clowns are struggling with homelessness at a record rate. Mm. But it's more complicated than you think. What is BuzzFeed onto here? I need to get on some of this.
See what this
information
is about.
Yeah.
An Indonesian man.
That's a good one. 1-877 clowns for kids.
It's not
what about that?
Indonesian man has married his rice cooker. He gave three reasons. It's white, it doesn't talk, and it's good at cooking. Do you think this is...
Wait a minute. So his rice cooker, I thought he meant a person.
No, it's that thing.
No,
it's
you meant a real rice cooker. I thought you meant, you know, some lady who cooks his rice.
No.
Like, this is my rice cooker. She's white. She doesn't talk.
He's got the veil on it. He's on the rice cooker.
Yeah.
And he's kissing it. He married it. Do you think being white, not talking, and being a good cooker is reason enough to marry?
I'm not answering that question. What are you crazy? I'm not going to put an answer on that. I'm not going to lie, and I'm not going to answer something that'll get me in trouble.
Apparently.
But I'm more Mexican.
Okay.
So
apparently in this little town of Douglasville, the Douglasville Police Department says, there is a person who is putting notes at people's homes and saying that he is a member of the Ku Klux Klan. The notes threaten to burn down the homes and kill the people. This is a problem.
Excuse me?
The member of the Ku Klux Klan in Douglasville is putting notes on that says it's threatening to burn down homes and kill people. Unfortunately, it happens to be a black woman who's doing this.
Well, that felt a little too, like, that doesn't really happen. You know what I found? This thing from the Klan. Like, the Klan is going door to door like the little door hangs.
Yeah, I'm
going to
burn your house down. And
and they found out, that sounded a little, like, really?
That doesn't sound like 2021. Douglasville anymore. Oh, well. We're done. Charlie Polillo is next. Charlie.
Yes?
Magic number for the White Sox is 1. Do the White Sox lose to the Tigers this weekend? Or the Astros win 1 against the A's?
Oh, Astros should win tonight. Oakland's toast. And last weekend, stuff happens. Who do you pitch in game 2 if you're the Astros?
Fromber.
Garcia, Wednesday night aside, been a lot better at home this season on the road. A little wary. Might go with Garcia at home, Fromber in game 3. I'm guessing they'll do what you're thinking.
Yeah,
White Sox, Lance.
Well, especially if they lose game 1. They've got to go with Fromber in game 2.
Yeah, what if they went? Well, I mean, it'll already be set, though. I don't think they'll bounce guys around.
No.
They have to know from a preparation standpoint.
Right.
White Sox going Lynn, though. It's been their best all year, although Giolito's had the best track record against the Astros.
And Rodon looked pretty good.
Yeah.
The other night.
We're burying the lead. 17.5, right? So, either or. Bills win by 35 or more, or Texans shock the world.
Bills win 35. By 35.
Yeah, 35 or more.
38-3.
Right? Yeah, that's easy.
42-10.
No, it's
still inside the
35
numbers.
35-3 would be kind of cruel.
I fear for...
35-3 would be cruel.
Davis Mills' life, I fear for it. Yeah. No. No. Come on. Shock the world. That ain't happening. Charlie's next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk about all this stuff on Monday.
ESPN 97.5. 97.5.